5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You are listening to Flowing with Famous. I am Joshua Teehee, and with me, as always, Mike C of the Dorktown Network of Podcasts. Mike, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good, Josh. I'm glad it's February. I hate January. It's my...
Really?
Oh, yeah. I hate it.
Why?
I don't like cold. Traditionally, although this year it wasn't so bad, and I think because of the changing environment, it's not as bad. But usually, Fresno would be overcast all January, like high fog. That, you know, that high fog that sometimes never, the sun doesn't come out for days.
Tule fog. Yeah, the tule fog.
It wasn't so much like that the past couple years, but, and it's never warm, and
it's just a shitty month.
It's just, and there's nothing going on, and
it's cold, and, it's dreary.
I hate it. It's just like a grind to just get through.
Well, I'll tell you what, it feels to me like it went real quick. Like
there was a lot going on this January.
Yes, more like so than whatever normal. Yesterday or
one or two Friday, things happened.
Whatever day it was, I realized like, oh, we're podcasting. I gotta get in touch with Mike. And I really was like, I thought we had like three more weeks left. So it was crazy. Yeah, and a lot of stuff.
It's good that it's over. We're in a new era of the country, and just a new like. The winter is gonna. February is great because like, it's not hot, but then also you could get some nice days in there, and then you could get a rainy, cold day. It gives you February gives you almost everything except heat, and a lot of people hate the heat, so you gotta enjoy this February. It's a good month to do challenges. It's only 28 days usually.
Right, and everything good about
it. You can do like a 28 day challenge of like, I don't know, see 28 different tacos maybe.
Ooh, that'd be a good one. Yeah. Any number of things you can do in February.
Gives me a glimpse of the spring, and that's why I like
it. So for you, February really is like the turning of the new year.
Yeah. Exactly.
And January is just sort of a write off, and
I just like just grind it out and show up for work and
just
sleep and just like I'll see you February 1st. We had a crazy storm for two. I don't remember the last time it rained straight for 2 days. Like, did not.
Yeah, stop it was for two no, it was days. Crazy. I was in my apartment.
I don't remember,
and I could hear the rain. You know, like where I live, you know, I have high standards, like whatever. So I really hear the rain. Right, a lot.
Me too.
For literally two straight days, no. With like zero let up.
It rained light or heavy. It was just never stopped.
Yeah. Right. For almost two straight days. And what's crazy about it is it was like four storms in a row or something. So first we had that mono wind thing.
Oh, yeah.
That destroyed insane. All that stuff up in Yosemite. You know, the Yosemite area, Oakhurst and all that. I mean, really Bass Lake, whatever. Just destroy shit. And we were toppled like,
freaking redwoods of like,
oh yeah, man.
Redwood.
Yeah. Well, so apparently, the thing I just saw in Yosemite, 15 giant sequoias.
Giant sequoias. Yeah. Sorry.
Were toppled.
Yeah. Tuolumne
in one of their main groves or whatever.
Sequoia. Yeah.
Yeah.
The one where you can take the bus in and walk around and.
Right. Which is just insane. Mm-hmm. And, you know, luckily we didn't. So anyway, so we had that. And then, you know, right after that, we got the big snow thing. Right. Which was like just a ton of snow up in Shaver, up that direction, into Huntington. You know, they shut down the 168 north of Shaver. I think they got like 2 feet or 4 feet or something. It was insane. And then right after that, or kind of as that was, then we got the big rain down here for the couple of days. And then now we have a little bit It's looking good for today, you know, next couple of days. And then it's right back. We're back at it on Tuesday or whatever.
Wednesday, I think.
Maybe. More rain. It's just, which, I mean, I guess
good.
We need.
It's good. But I it was personally funny, so, hate it because I work outside. So it's
yeah. I can't. No amount of
rain gear keeps you dry, by the way, as far as I'm concerned. It's still.
Oh, right.
Still manages to get wet.
Yeah, it still like gets through. Like, what do you have? Like, you have ponchos and stuff?
Kind of. Well, no, it's like a rain jacket and rain pants. Oh, okay. Like these pants and jacket. But like, it just, you're inevitably just still get wet.
Right. Especially, yeah, if you're out there for an extended period of time, you're never going to be. Yeah. I remember one time.
I don't know how people in Seattle do it.
I know. Well, I was going to say, I remember I was in San Francisco one time and I got caught. In the rain, and like it wasn't raining at the time, like, so I got there and I was doing this seminar or something, and I was staying at some friend's house, and I had taken the train, and I was just gonna take like the BART or the metro around because I was like, I don't need a car, like, whatever. I maybe even didn't have a car at that time, I don't know, whatever. So I'm there, and first day was fine. I get there, it's a little drizzly, but no problem, like, take the metro, get where I need to go. Second day on the way there, it's like raining, like just like crazy. And I get off of the metro or whatever. And, I'm like going up the hill to get to the hotel where the seminar is. And in the span of the time it takes me to get like to the top of the hill, I'm like drenched, like just totally drenched. And so I'm at the top of the hill. And like, if I go like one way down the hill, I can go to the hotel or whatever and do the seminar. And if I go the other way, I can just go straight to the train station and just go home. And so I was just like, fuck it. I just went to the train station. I got it early. I'm like, can I make this ticket earlier? Get me out of here. And it was like the worst thing.
It,
yeah.
It's, so it's it like, sucks. Cause, yeah. Once you get wet, especially like your socks, it's over.
Yes.
Like, you're never going to get dry. Right.
So then I'm like sitting in the train station waiting for the next train. And I'm soaking wet. And then once I get on the train, it's like I finally did dry out, I guess, by the time I got back. But it was it was miserable. Boo, I was like, no, nope, never going to do that again.
Fresno, and that's just summer, like, come on.
It's totally just like being unprepared, because it's like, yeah. I have never experienced, like, being from Fresno, you don't experience rain like that, you know? Yeah,
it like rains like for a couple hours and then like it stops or whatever.
Right.
Like,
and you can usually, because in Fresno, like, you can usually be in a place that's safe from it, you know, like, unless you work outside in it. But anyway, lots of crazy weather. I think we're probably out of it. Well, in the grand scheme of things, it's only going to get worse, obviously. But,
But keep snowing. I'm just like, keep snowing. Get that snowpack up there. I'm always watching the snow. I watch Mark Grossi give me the snowpack updates, and then
I'm very excited. It almost made me want to go up to the snow. Maybe I will.
Almost.
I mean, you know, and hang out and do like all the
snow. There's a lot of people complain about how, you know, because people are like, don't have much to do. So they're like, let's go to the snow. And like the mountain people are like, stop coming up to the snow.
Right.
Because people are like pulling off from random places and like pulling off in someone's property. And like,
this is snow. Truthfully, they've had a rough go of it, and there's a lot of places up there that are still like just kind of getting back from the creek fire. So I'm sure like they don't want extra people there causing all sorts of trouble and being weird and like whatever, because you know, people from Fresno, when they go to the snow, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They're driving their car, you know. Like,
I don't have snow pants. And I know this
because
if you're not a skier, you probably don't have the stuff.
Because I did, like, I was younger and in a band, like, we got a show, I don't know, someplace up at one of these resorts, like, up in the thing, and, like, we went to play, and, like, totally had to be, like, pulled out of the snow, our car by, you know, some random passerby with a chain, because we didn't know, you know, we didn't know how to drive. We had chains on it, but we didn't know what we were doing, you know, so.
Yeah, and everybody that lives in mountains has like some sort of towing capability. They're always ready to like tow things because just
you got to, because there's going to be some idiot from Fresno.
Got to be able to prepare for some dumb valley boy.
who's going to spin out and get into the snowbank and not be able to get you. So, yeah. But it's nice. I'm glad. I personally enjoyed the weather.
Yeah.
The sure. change. It's nice. I didn't like sort of being like blocked in and not being able to go outside and like, you know, I mm-hmm. really wanted to go play out in the snow, in the rain, yeah. you know, at one point it was just like, I just need to go run in the rain. Like, so I didn't, but
You should have make a little jog.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost thought, yeah, I was like, I'm going to go jogging out in the rain today. Or if there was like a break, you know, cause it's yeah. really nice. Like I personally like going out and run, like jogging or whatever, when, just like before at like right like when it's been raining, so it's right. like still wet kind of on yeah. the ground, but it's not actually raining because the weather, like the air is nice and whatever. So
there's just basically a few hours of nice air and then everyone starts throwing their fireplaces on and
right
and just ruins everything. But you get that, you know, you get that brief moment of good air.
So yeah,
everyone stop yeah. using fireplaces, god's sakes.
At some point,
all right, Josh. Enough fun.
What's up?
Let's stop. Let's get the Adventure Church update. Tower Man. Theater Adventure Church. Well, so first saga of all,
let me say this. You were way more angry about this.
Oh my! And my newsletter. Yeah, I'll let it fly in the newsletter because not as many people are accessing that. So I'll just. I'll let it fly.
I was like, whoa, okay, let me tell me how you really feel.
I called them names.
So, all right, so just to lay it out, last time we talked about the church wanting to buy the theater, and so now most people probably know that's the case. It's in escrow. Mm-hmm. In the last month, a bunch of stuff has happened. So, you know, the city of Century stepped in and said, hey, you know, you're going to have to get a rezone. And I'm not sure if it's like a full rezone, like, cause I think there's like things that there's a way that you can like, essentially amend the zoning for the building, whatever. So it's whatever, but there's a process that they have to go through. The church is still saying it doesn't want to go through the process. The right. city says you're going to have to go through it. So that's a whole thing. And then, on top of that, the dudes from the Painted Table came in and they put in an offer. Essentially, they matched the offer, but in cash. They were like, we'll pay mm-hmm. it in cash. We'll pay it right now. And then on top of that, the mayor stepped in and said he would give the Adventure Church a sweetheart deal on the Memorial Auditorium instead. Mm-hmm. And so they could use the Memorial Auditorium and blah, blah, blah. And on top of that, the people who bought Sequoia Brewing Company, who are in the Tower Theater complex,
yep.
They say that the owner should not have been able to make that sale because Sequoia Brewing had the tenants had to be notified, and I believe would be given the first right of refusal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they're going to sell, they need to go to all the places and yeah. say, hey, we're going to sell. Do you want to buy it? Et cetera. So,
right.
And that didn't happen. So that's like
There's all kinds of problems going on.
It's all working out. And then I guess the city had a meeting with the owner of the theater, like Thursday or whatever. But that was a closed door meeting and, you know, who knows what's coming of it. So, in the meantime, the church, you know, church is continuing to do what
saying
the church
they're going to sue.
Oh, yes. And on top of that, the church is saying that they're going to sue for discrimination and they believe that they should be able to be there. You know, my whole thing about it is like, I personally, the church has every right to buy the building. Like, you know, they do. I mean, that's just, you know, but they should respect the process that's put in place by the city, you know.
Right. Well, they can buy it, but they can't expect to be able to use it as a church.
Well, right. That this is what I'm saying. Well, I mean, right. They can buy, they should respect that as it is now, it is not zoned for them. And if they want it to be, they have to go through this process like that. You know, that to me, that's how it should be.
It just boggles my mind that they think they don't even have to do that. Like, it's right. like there's some, right. there's being such quote unquote assholes as right. some local well, right. newsletter.
I mean, to me, I feel like
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. No. You're 100%. I just, the hubris to think that, they, you know, that you should be able to go wherever you want and do whatever you want. When, mm-hmm. you know, the city is telling you this thing. Now, you know, obviously, I guess you could argue that they don't believe that the city, you know, they believe the city is being discriminatory, whatever. And then I guess you litigate. But to me, you know, my whole problem with it, like, is if you're the church and you're coming out and you're saying, like, we care about this community. We've been in the community for 10 years, like, blah, blah, blah. We're part of this neighborhood, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Then... but you're not listening to what they're telling you, you know, yeah. because what they're telling you is, we don't think it's appropriate for you to be in this, to own the building,
right.
To be in the building. So if you care about the community, then you should go, oh man. Okay. I guess maybe we were wrong about this. What can we do? Exactly. And then you go through the process of, you know, because they could do a bunch of things. One thing they could do is buy the theater, hand it over to a nonprofit who would run it
mm-hmm.
on the condition that maybe they still get their Sunday services or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the building is not owned by the church, or it's, you know, it's owned by the nonprofit and it's run by the nonprofit and, you know, the church. That would be an acceptable solution, I think, to anybody, right? Because the nonprofit would run it, well, like, whatever. So there will be people probably who would be upset.
Because I wouldn't trust that this nonprofit had no... the church didn't have any influence over the nonprofit. Well, I wouldn't trust
that. Well, but what I'm saying is you could set it up so that... I mean, the Warner's Theater operates that way, where it's a nonprofit that's, like, outside of the... you know,
right.
Of the family. So, I mean, it can be done, and the nonprofit could have a board that's made up of members of the community, like whatever. The logistics of how that works aside, it is something they could do, you know, but the fact that they're not even, you know, contemplating
mm-hmm.
Doing anything, you know, the fact that they're just saying, like, we want to be here. We can, you know, we can deserve to be here, like, whatever. I feel like that's not, it goes against what they're, it yeah, goes against them saying that they care about the community.
Right. Whatever, when they mention, you know, they know the tower or something, they are not showing it at all. Like, you're showing you.
Right. Right.
Either you totally don't get the tower, like, yeah, you've been in the area for 10 years, but it, at the very least, you just don't get it, and at the very most, you very much get what you're doing, and you're purposely right. planting yourself in the middle of our arts district to change things. So, like, right. which is it? Either you don't get what you're doing at all and you're just that stupid, or you're somewhat evil and trying to change a district and a major city.
You know, and, like, I will give them just the way that I am. I will give them the benefit of the doubt to say that their intentions are good. You know, like, their intentions for it, if we may disagree or think that they're misguided, but I'll give them the benefit of saying their intentions are good. But even at that, at a certain point, when the rest of the community that you purport to be a part of or want to, you know, be a part of is telling you, like, we don't want this, and you are not even engaging in that at all to figure out why, or to be figure out a solution, then to me, it's like, you in a lot of ways, you are the problem, you know.
And
I also, you know, I'm also not, I also think that there could be problems on the other side. You know, I would rather not a church not be there and use that space. But I would not, you know, count it out just because they're, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I would,
you're open to, like, at least listening to them, what they have to say about it.
I would be open to, like, okay, what are your, you know, here are the issues that we have. How can we fix them in a way that would be beneficial to keeping what you want to do as a church, and also to, keeping the community, and what the community wants and what the community needs. And maybe those things are completely incongruous and can't function together. And I think that's probably the case. But if you're not even willing to, have that conversation or work, then you are the problem. You know what I'm saying? And that could be on either side.
And it's,
so I think on the flip side, if there's people out there who are just like, no, church can't be here, blah, 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 then it's like, well, you are also a bit of a problem, you know, less problematic because I agree with your position, but, yeah.
And it's just so bizarre because I feel no empathy towards the church because they can go anywhere. And the fact that they're digging their heels into the
$6.5 million.
They have $6.5 million. It's Fresno. Right. You can go literally anywhere in town, and you're digging your heels in on the one place we don't want. Everybody else is telling you, no, don't go there. And they're like, no, we're going to do it. We're also going to sue you to do it.
Even the mayor.
Even a conservative Republican mayor.
Is and also very Christian and also very churchy, like is also saying, and see, that's the other side of it. Like, he understands, like, okay, let's try to figure something out so that we can make we understand as a church, the space that you are in is too small. You would like to be in a bigger space. Cool. Let's try to find out a figure of thing that would work for you.
And they rejected that because the issue isn't, like, maybe for the churchgoers, the practitioner I'm looking
practitioner
for the people that go to the church, I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. They're just like, yeah, we just want a bigger space. They're not necessarily caring that it's the Tower Theater or not. Maybe apparently the people running it do, but, like, I'm assuming the people that actually just go to the church are just like, yeah, wherever, I just want a place to be at church. And so the mayor's like, all right, here, I found you a place. You can fit everybody in there. And what can we do for you? And the church is like, nah, dude, we're going in the Tower Theater. So that just tells me that the people that are, you know, in charge of doing the buying, trying to get in the tower, they don't care. Being able to find a place big enough for them as a church is secondary. They want the land.
Right.
They want the theater. They want the land, and they like acquiring land. And what could be more valuable to a church than land in a historic theater in the middle of the most creative artsy community in the valley. So
that's a real interesting question, you know, about the use of land. And, you know, so another thing that happened is the Rainbow Ballroom is also up for sale. And the guys who own the Rainbow Ballroom also own the Liberty Theater or the Hardy Theater or the Mexican, whatever that theater is over there. And they sold it, I guess, last year or maybe 2019.
They sold the Liberty?
They sold the Liberty. And they sold it to a church. Because churches are the only ones who have money to do anything right now.
Right.
I mean, you know, like, that's the...
And see, we didn't really get up in arms about talking, that, because it's not changing anything about the neighborhood.
Right.
It's just like, we can look at it totally different way, because I'm like, well, at least somebody's using it. and nobody's right. Nobody else is affected by this. So sure, but at Tower Theater, it's a completely different thing. It completely affects the whole area.
But so my point was that when they were talking about the sale of the Rainbow Ballroom, that it might also go to a church again. Yeah. Because who are the people that have capital to do something like this? And especially right now, a place like either place, Tower Theater and the Rainbow Ballroom, if you're going to buy that place, you're buying it as right now. Well, Rainbow Ballroom more so because the Tower Theater has tenants. But you're buying it under the assumption that it's not going to make money for the foreseeable future, right?
Mm-hmm. So like probably this year, at least
you're just going to have to sit on it. Right. So unless you have a ton of capital that you can just put out and then just sit on, no one's going to be able to buy that thing. Right. Except for a church who are continuing to be able to do all of their,
these
their
big
business.
Churches and all the money they got. They're just freaking buying up everything.
So we have these kind of historic buildings, these venues, right? And they're limited. There's a limited number of them. Yeah. And to me, it's like I feel like they do serve a public good.
Yeah. Rainbow, so like, me, like Rainbow even has more shows than the Tower Theater.
Right. Well, and I had a question about this, about which, so we got to lose one, let's say.
Oh, boy.
Which do you rather lose?
Well, I mean, Rainbow, just because of the location of the Tower Theater.
Okay, so now that's what I thought at first. Okay, and I do actually think that that's true. But think about the Rainbow versus Tower Theater just from a the standpoint of what it offers.
Mm-hmm.
The Rainbow Ballroom is one of the few venues of that size that can pull that size in Fresno.
Right.
So if you lose that, suddenly there's no place that people can go.
That's a, for that. Was that like 3,500?
No, something like, it's like, you know, I think it's like 2,500, but they can tack like 3,000 people in there when they do it, you know? So suddenly any of those bands of that size don't have any place to play.
Right.
You could argue there's arguments to be made. Now, from the standpoint of the community and the neighborhood, like whatever, obviously I feel like the Tower Theater, if you lose the Tower Theater, I mean, that's just a, you know, that's just a sucker punch for the whole neighborhood. But I feel like the Rainbow Ballroom, the residual effect or whatever could be greater.
There would be acts that just won't come to the town that would have.
Or, I mean, the truth is they would probably just end up going someplace else. Tioga Sequoia has had a setup where they could kind of do a similar, I don't know how many people they had that for, you know, Flogging Molly out there or for the Gore show or whatever. So there are other places, I suppose, that could work. But, you know, the Rainbow Ballroom was just really, and to me also, like from a historic standpoint, I mean, if you look at the amount, like the bands that played at the Rainbow Ballroom, the sort of place that it had, not only
diverse in acts.
Yeah. I mean, and also it really like for in the 70s, it really, or like 60s, like late 60s and the 70s, it really like shaped the music scene here, in terms of like the garage bands that were playing there. And it just was like, so from like a historic standpoint, you know, I personally think it could be a little more important than the Tower Theater.
There's definitely arguments made, and there's a swimming pool underneath this floor, and I mean, not a working one, but there was, and it's got a lot of history too. I mean, the whole business with the tower sort of takes the energy away from talking about Rainbow, but If that turns into a church, like, I mean, like the same last night, like if look at Cornerstone.
Here's another thing.
I guess maybe technically you could get Cornerstone out of the Wilson one day if somebody has enough money, but doesn't seem like it. Seems like they're never going to.
They're not
leave. Yeah. So
well, because they own that. They own like parts of that whole next block. Like, I mean, they have a whole campus there, so it's not just Cornerstone. Like that, the whole like the next block is like. But,
and that's what happens. They churches, they get, keep growing and they just keep acquiring. And then before you know it, you have a church neighborhood, church district.
So here's the thing. I was thinking, why don't you send Adventure Church over to the Rainbow? I mean, because it is close. It is close there to Cornerstone. Mm-hmm. Then you actually do have a church.
You'd be living in the church district, Josh.
I would be fine. I mean, aside from the fact I live around the corner, I would be fine with the church district because at least you know that's the church district,
right?
You know, and then it's whatever they want to do with it. You know, I don't really think that, but that is another thing that they could do. If they needed bigger space, they could go
they won't because it's that the Tower Theater is what they want. And they don't.
Well,
I mean,
and I wonder if it's the Tower Theater is what they want now because they have been told they can't have it or like they have been told that people don't want them there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or if what you're saying is true, which is like they want it because they know that it's worth. For XYZ, it's a good investment, blah, 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 blah. And one of those, I mean, they're both kind of bad. One of those is worse, I think. Mm-hmm. So,
I'm just hopefully the painted table people can. I mean, we have all the solutions with the exception of the church not leaving. Like, there isn't like, if nobody was out there to buy the Tower Theater at all, and the ownership is like, we have no choice, we need this money. And there would be a little bit of like, well, yeah, I can see why you would sell it, blah, blah, blah. But you have a tower family that's ready to buy it and give you cash for it or whatever. And so there's no excuses at this point to me. There's just like, get rid of Adventure Church.
Right. I mean, and there could be, and I don't know enough about this, like how escrow works. To know, because I think escrow essentially is set up
at least have to pay some sort of fee or something to get out of it. Like, once it's escrow, it becomes like get out of it, it becomes like somebody's going to pay something.
But if Sequoia Brewing, sues and can prove or whatever their stance that like, this it should never have gone to escrow.
Nobody ran it through us and they were supposed to run it through us.
Which and I think that's true because I think the painted table had said a similar thing about the first right of refusal as well, which would make sense because if all those places, they're gonna want to know who they're being bought by. And so what I think happened was, and even just from listening to the church guy, I heard him on KMJ. And he was like walking through the whole thing with Jim. Oh, by the way, let's talk about Ray Appleton
in a second.
I think what happened was, the church moved in and was doing their Sunday service there as they had been doing for a while. And through that, I think they just got there was a relationship that formed between them and the owner. Uh-huh. And the owner was looking to get out of the building and thought like, oh, these people are here. They're going to, and already they have the money, blah, blah, blah. So I think it was like a thing of convenience more than anything.
Right.
Because they had a relationship because obviously because there's no one else using the building right now. But then, and I also have a big problem with the church using the building. Against the COVID restrictions. And then I don't know if you saw, they had scheduled to have this big like concert there in a couple of days. They may have canceled it, but it was this big con. Oh, and they were, it was like $5. You know, they were like charging people to get in.
Yeah.
And to like, me,
how are you guys doing this?
That to me was a straw where it's like, what a slap in the face to the community there, you know, where you have a bunch of places that do live music or, you know, you have across the street, Roger Rockers, whatever. They can't do anything right now because they're, you know, and yet you come through and think that you can, because you're a church, you can operate against and charge people to come to your thing. Like, get out.
All these business owners that have been there forever or have been just, you know, or new, whatever, like Fresbrew across the street or whatever, like having to, you know, adhere to everything. And the church is just like, haha, we're in here and we're just doing it. And everyone can come in.
And we can do whatever we want. And so that's the other thing to me that's like, if you're setting yourself up to be community stewards, like they're saying they want to be, when you do stuff like that, you're not proving the case, you know?
Right.
You're sort of going against the very thing that you're...
They haven't done anything to endear me at all. Everything they're doing is exactly what I'm, like, you know,
And it's that's call them, to me that's
just they're just complete bullshit. They have not proven otherwise.
And it that's unfortunate to me because I do think that churches are I don't want to assume that every church is terrible.
No.
And that, you know, whatever.
Even People's like, Church, the freaking bastion of Northeast, the capital
I think churches
is like, no, you shouldn't is telling a venture church not to be doing that.
That's yes, I forgot about that.
I mean we have the most churches per capita per city, and People's Church is the king of that. And they're like, stop it.
Right.
Venture church.
I think the Fresno Chamber of Commerce also has come out. So yeah, I think just but we'll see. I mean, you know, it's definitely gonna get litigated somehow, you know.
And what sucks even more is like they're in the Tower Theater, which we love as a building and don't want to touch, but then like I also want to go by and throw tomatoes at it and egg it and stuff. I'm like, because it's like,
don't do that. Don't do that.
We could go. They if have another location in town. We can go over to there. No, don't do that.
They have two locations. Yeah. But no, don't do that.
Adventure Church, come on, man. Just stop it.
The whole town
wants you to stop it. Listen,
I am pretty sure we'll be talking about this next month as well. So,
yeah. All right. So, speaking of talking, the most well-known radio personality in town,
was
on fire because of the whole election stuff, and he was emboldened said the wrong thing at the wrong time, and. Luckily, somebody from the B was listening because I don't know that, or actually, maybe he used to be on the B, but otherwise, I think it would have just completely passed through if somebody didn't call him out for it. So, what happened there?
Yeah. So, I don't know. So, this was the day after the Capitol insurrection.
Yeah.
And Ray was essentially talking about how the news was covering things and you know doing the thing that he does where you know he calls out the fake news, the mainstream media, like whatever
the people that report actual news,
how they're the like whatever and so he said, and I would have to pull it up to get the direct quote, but essentially something to the fact that like some news editors need to be hanged or something like that. The way that he said it, like, you know, he later said that, you know, it was sort of taken out of context and it was meant to be tongue in cheek and blah, blah, blah. So essentially what happened, someone heard it, got called out on it. The executive editor for the B, tagged him on Twitter, tagged KMJ and Cumulus, and said like, hey, is this okay? Do you think that it's okay for him to say this? And to their credit, Cumulus or KMJ, or maybe both, they, you know, decided that they, that was too much. And so they suspended him without pay for 2 weeks. So he was gone off air for 2 weeks. And, you know, I mean, partly, regardless of the seriousness of what he was saying or whether he meant it or whatever, like, you know, it was, like you were saying, the wrong thing to say at the wrong time, because we had just had the Capitol insurrection where, you know, they were stealing essentially, like, stealing equipment from the media and setting it on fire, and, you know, they had scrawled, you know, media needs to die, or media needs to be murdered, or whatever it was. So there was this really heightened, like, sense of the media being under attack, and he then chooses to, I mean, and I think it's just insane to me that he doesn't realize that he is the media. Yeah. Like, you know, that he sort of sets himself. His
son works for the quote-unquote fake media.
It's weird because this happens so often. And I think, like, Devin Nunes was his first guest when he came back. And Devin Nunes was, like, making this whole...
That's just a real tone-deaf... guest back from being suspended, and you bring on the friggin' biggest idiot in the valley.
Jim Patterson was the first, like, guest, but then Devin Nunes was, like, and it's only Devin Nunes was supposed to come on the day after he got that Ray got suspended. Anyway, whatever. But he was talking about how, you know, he thinks that people like him and Republican congressmen, different people are getting censored because of, you know, Twitter and Facebook and Parler and all that kind of stuff. And it's crazy.
They'll go on any media outlet to talk about how they're censored.
It's crazy because, so Devin Nunes is saying that on KMJ, which is, like, the largest AM radio
blowtorch
in the Central Valley, and it runs almost, you know,
you can get it all in California pretty much, especially at night.
The full span of California, not to mention on the internet. He is saying that he no longer has the capability to communicate with his constituents.
Yeah.
Like,
because Twitter this is how his constituents get their news, is Twitter. Yeah.
I mean,
like, if I can't be on Twitter, I'm silenced.
It makes no sense. I mean, so
if I can't be on this particular app, I'm silenced.
Right. Even though, Ray Appleton. I think Cumulus had put out a statement that, you know, that they were going to essentially, like, censure any of their DJs who said incendiary things, you know, around this time. And I think maybe they even threatened to fire them. I can't remember, but at least, like, suspend them and fine them or whatever. And so, you know, they did. And Ray was off air for 2 weeks. It's funny, though, because then he comes back and he, you know, refers to it as his, what did he call it? It was like
sabbatical.
No, it wasn't a sabbatical. It was like, what do you call it when they send you away? You can't be someplace anymore.
Not quarantine, but like,
not isolation, whatever. Anyway, he was being very flippant about it. Like, it was obvious.
Oh yeah. He's got to be cool. He's got to still be cool. He's like a 14-year-old. You know, so, I mean, you can't be not cool to everyone.
If obviously making some plays at the Fresno Bee and, like, trying to say that the Fresno Bee.
So really just proving he really learned his lesson.
I mean, if that was what they were trying to do, is, like, teach him a lesson, then no, he didn't, you know, he didn't learn it. But you know what, to me, I was amazed. So I had to listen to the first show back for work. So I was, mm-hmm. I was listening to work purposes. I listened to more KMJ recently than normal. And I actually was listening to the show before him, and they had a woman who called on, and she said she was calling about the incident on January 7th, where these Patriots stormed the White House.
Oh, God.
And everything was peaceful. Everything was so peaceful until, you know, whatever. Yeah. And to their credit, they did correct her that it wasn't the White House, that it was the Capitol. But they did not correct her
about it was the Patriots wrong day
or
comment.
On any of the other thing they said. And this these is the thing
Patriots.
That I just...
Now you're right about this the Patriots part. Just not it was the Capitol, not the White House.
This is the thing that KMJ, my struggle listening to KMJ is like, it's not so much the hosts themselves that are saying, although, mm-hmm. you know, it's the people who call on, and it's like they don't have screeners or they don't, and you know, people will say just crazy things like that mm-hmm. and don't get corrected. And it's just like, man.
Yeah. Those hosts will get shredded by their core listenership when yeah. they correct
well,
things
so
like
this
that.
Was the first time in, and you probably could know, or this is the first time I remember that Ray Appleton has ever been, penalized for anything that he said. I can't remember a time, and I'm sure he said some, you know, crazy incendiary because that's his shtick, you know. But this was the first time that I had. So I wonder if it's a little bit. To me, it seemed like a changing of the tides a little bit, where you know, KMJ and Cumulus, whether or not they truly believe whatever, they know that at least. For appearance's sake, they have to, in this case, and probably because of the politics surrounding it, right? Because of the Capitol thing, that they had to take a stand and say, like, no, dude, you can't be threatening. You can't be threatening Newt, you know.
Yeah, I can't remember them. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. All right, you want to take
band
a quick
of the episode?
Yeah.
Band of the episode.
All right. So this is a new one for new music for me. This is actually a premiere. We are. Have we ever done this before, where we premiered a song?
But just because no one else had happened to play,
right? Just like by accident,
right?
Well, this is a premiere. Premiering this song. It's by. Essie Hudson, and really cool kind of soul, Fresno soul thing. Let's play it and then we'll talk a little bit about it.
You came dancing in my life, baby. Out of nowhere came that someone. You came dancing in my life, baby. Out of nowhere came that someone. Your classy star. All I know is that it's something in the way you move. Now it's over from my heart. Something in the way you move. Something in maybe the way you move. Now it's over from my heart. My heart. You came dancing in my life, baby. Out of nowhere came that someone. You came dancing in my life, baby. Out of nowhere came that someone. Maybe
so closely by my side. I think about you more than
show. We met unexpected, my heart jumped, you had a dude, but I respected, you know. Now after it was over, we connected, something turned us on, now our souls are so electric. No games, this ain't an arcade, yo. She floated in my life when it was like a shark tank, bro. You think situations like this are fate, though? When they hit you out of nowhere like a RKO? Oh. You didn't know, you better make a phone call. She even got the cosign from all my road dogs. And there's so much more that I could comment on. How she got me catching feelings, talking to her like a common song. Like, damn, I think that you should be my queen. You looking nice, but them jeans are mean. We haven't said it, but we call it love. And I think I know it's all because
something in the way you move, now it's over from my heart.
Something in the way she moves.
Something in the way you move, now it's over from my heart.
We did that.
You came dancing in my life, baby.
I like it, man. I'm gonna think it's cool. You know, got a little bit of like a, you know, singing falsetto voice, maybe a little Princey kind of vibe maybe to it. So what's cool about this, and how I kind of stumbled upon it, is the rap, the dude rapping there at the end of the song, none other than Daniel, the singer, screamer from Farouk.
That's my boy.
Who I know you're a big fan of.
Farouk.
I knew that he did, like, I knew that he rapped, you know, and like produced music and stuff, mm-hmm. but apparently he is, he's doing more, like, I don't know, more, but he's producing and helping people release stuff now. And so he has his own record label. This album from S.E. Hutton is Hudson. Being released, and it's going to be out on the 7th.
Right.
Crap. I should have put this all in my, I'm really doing a terrible job.
Click the link in the show notes.
It's coming out next week. Anyway,
check them out.
Check it out and, you know, support. It's really cool. It's interesting because, so he's in this hardcore band. And then he, you know, helps to produce, you know, this soul music, and he's, you know, being featured on it. And then he also in I think November or whatever produced and mixed and helped write some songs for JD Garza, who's more of like a, not quite a folk singer, but you know, he's a solo artist, guitar mm-hmm. guy. And they're all like vastly different, you know, which I love. Like, I love to think of this guy who's like in a hardcore band and yet also totally down with soul music and rapping and whatever. So props to him for what he's doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, what else is going on, man?
You tell me.
Did you know, since we're on music for just one moment, do you know the band Pavements from Stockton?
You know, oh, yeah, man. I know. Yeah.
I just discovered that this week. I was like, what's that? I was listening to some Pavement, and I'm just like, yeah. Pavement. I'm liking this. Now I looked at the artist page, and it says Stockton, California. I'm like, oh, yeah, what? Man.
So my first band when I was in high school, Dr. Rock and Moon Patrol, we actually recorded with Pavement's original drummer, this guy called Gary Young,
okay.
who's like just like total eccentric. He was 20 years older than the rest of the band, like at the time, whatever. Anyway, so we actually went to his studio and record, and got to like play through, you know, like the bass amp or whatever that Slanted and Enchanted was recorded on, or whatever, nice. You know, some like And it was just like this crazy thing. We're like, oh my God, you're Gary on the pavement, you know? And he had all these stories about like whatever, but yeah, Stockton, man.
Yeah. Look at the valley, man.
Very true.
The yeah. North Valley.
There's some cool bands. We got Modesto.
It's interesting.
Granddaddy.
Oh, okay.
Was that a Modesto? Granddaddy, I think, was out of Modesto.
It's interesting, though, out pavement, like, pavement and Sparkle Jet and vice versa.
Oh, yeah.
Rademacher, I feel like, is in the same sort of family as pavement. So, I don't know. Maybe there's a little
connection
there.
Yeah. I don't know if that's, like, influence or if there's just something about, like, the valley.
Yeah.
But that is, I do think that there is, like we've talked about before, like a valley sound, like whatever. But if you're listening to like indie rock, especially, I do think there is this weird, like kind of valley thing where if you listen, you're like, that's probably a band that came out of, you know, and it's sort of tied to a specific time period, maybe too.
Right.
You know, yeah, because. Yeah.
That like late 90s,
you know, the 90s into the 2000s. But yeah, huh? That's funny that you did not know that because I
found
I knew it
out.
So much.
I totally knew it, bro. Okay,
I totally knew it. You're not telling me anything.
Have you seen this possibility of Six Flags, the Bay Area Six Flags moving? Throwing around, like threatening to move to Fresno?
No, not at all.
The old SeaWorld in the Bay Area? I don't know if you ever went there.
Yeah, whatever.
Valencia? No.
Is it called SeaWorld?
It used to be, I think. It used to be a SeaWorld.
It's Six Flags. So. It might be Six Flags. Yeah.
They changed the name. I know it wasn't now, but I mean, I think when I was a kid, it was
SeaWorld. Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about because whenever I go to the Bay, different parts of the Bay. Sometimes I'll go that direction. I can't remember. It's off of whatever.
It's the North Bay, I think.
And you'll see it. You'll see you'll drive on the freeway right next to the,
at the East Bay
roller coasters or whatever. Yeah.
So anyway,
so would they just tear all that?
I don't know what's going on, but that they're basically like saying, well, I think they're trying to get a better deal or something. So they're using Fresno as like leverage.
Dude.
And saying move to Fresno, and I think the mayor was already saying that like we'll roll out the red carpet for him or something.
Heck yeah, man! Will they be out there where the aquarium's gonna go?
Yeah, so there'll be a sign for it for the next 20 years, saying.
I mean,
I love that now the aquarium now is a running joke for Fresno. It's like I hope this doesn't affect the aquarium opening.
But where do you any idea where it would be? I mean,
I didn't even read into it. I was hoping I was just tossing it out there thinking you might have seen it, but
no, but now
yeah,
I'm gonna look
yeah, we
into
could
it
figure because, it out. I mean, dude, yeah, we've got space. We can figure dude, it I out, mean, bro. Not necessarily a marine aspect, amusement park aspect of it.
Dude, I mean, that would be rad.
Yeah.
I would love it. Hey. I would go. I would get the pass. The
annual pass.
No joke, man. Because let me tell you, fairly recently, like within the last 3 or 4 years, I went to the Six Flags in downtown.
Yeah, Magic Mountain. Classic.
And we went, I want to say a couple times, maybe just once.
On the rhythm,
I think we went a couple times, more than one. Super fun. Like really had a good time, really enjoyed it. It's a very different experience from like Disneyland like other places, like, you know, and I just, it was really cool. So yeah, man, I would be so down with that. What would they call? Would they call it Six Flags Fresno?
I guess like, Six Flags. They probably use Yosemite or something. Six Flags Yosemite.
Oh, boo! I think Six Flags
Sequoia.
Six Flags Fresno would be the Six Flags.
Nobody in L.A. and in the Valley, Bay Area would make fun of that. Nobody would make fun of that name.
Six Flags Valley, Six Flags.
Six Flags, the San Joaquin. No, nobody else outside of the valley can spell San Joaquin, so you can't use San Joaquin.
Yeah, no, they couldn't do that. Yeah. Yosemite, they couldn't do either because no one would be able to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Yosemite?
Yosemite?
No, I hadn't heard that.
Some,
that's great.
To look, I'm going to look out for. It's bubbling.
Yeah.
It's bubbling.
That would be
great. We're only a month in here, but how can we give an assessment on Mayor Dyer yet? So far, so good. I'm so far, so good.
Yeah.
Right now?
I think so. He hasn't done anything crazy. I think his response to the Adventure Church thing was the fact that there was a response and the fact that he really like stepped in to go like, hey, let's try to work this out, I think is awesome. And it does show that like he's listening, like, you know, because he could have easily just like just left it to the city council. It's the city. It's the city council. That's their role or whatever. So he could have not. And I think the fact that he came out and really like was in front of this whole like mask anti-mask protest stuff, you know, that's happening.
Yeah.
And you know, was like, no, we're gonna prosecute, you know, we're gonna hold these people accountable for what they're doing if they're trespassing, blah blah blah. I think that to me sent a positive message. I think the things that he's done so far, from what I can see, I think they're good.
The homeless stuff has been, I mean, a lot of it is due to the fact that Fresno's getting a ton of money to help out with the homeless situation. But he's been, you know, he's been pushing it and he's been out there. He actually physically gone out there and to some of the encampments and you know, I saw this one picture of it was just such a weird picture. But I mean, I assume, because I know he's been a chief, but you know, at least it's somebody that's used to being out in the field and no matter where it is in Fresno.
Well, And so this is the other thing, like that's the kind of thing we should have suspected, because we saw how he was as the chief, you know, and he was, and he was good at the thing he was good at as chief, right? Was like being in front of people, like telling the story about what the department was doing, right? Like that kind of PR aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Like he was good at that. So of course he's going to be good at doing that for the city. And then also, you know, he's hired a bunch of like, news people to you know, be there to help him out. So no, I think it's so good.
We'll keep an eye on it, but no complaints yet.
The bigger question, and the question that that was sort of raised, I think Mark raised it in a column in the B, is about the new police chief and whether his handling of the Coalition for Individual Free Liberty or whatever, the mask guys, you know, whether or not if that was kind of a bungle, like that was, you know,
called him out on basically because worked by this guy.
That's what they're saying. You know, they're saying that, like, you know, the chief like met with this guy who is obviously a dangerous individual, or you know, has passed
when you get pulled over for not having a license plate light, they run your whole freaking history and and this guy who's is just being a menace to local businesses and people, they're just like talking hey, you want to have a meeting with us and let's talk about this situation.
And just the whole, you know, but it's interesting because, so I watched the video that, the guy put out, after the meeting, his meeting with the police chief, where the police chief is the best, and you know, blah blah blah, and we're happy to be a partner with the police and let them know the truth about what we're doing and all this stuff. And then the chief had his press conference like the next day, and the two like kind of didn't jive, like, you know, it was like, it was like, you know, the guy is saying that the chief was essentially painting it as if the chief is like on his side going like, I know you're, you know, we know that you're just out there trying to protect people's freedoms and blah, blah, blah. And the chief then comes back and goes like, these guys are wasting our time. I wish they wouldn't do this, you know?
Right.
So I wonder if it's like, you know, they're both kind of playing each other, you know, where the chief is just like telling this guy what he wants to hear so that he, you know, to kind of placate him and be like, all right, can we just keep things cool?
Right.
And then on the flip side, so we'll see. I don't know. Were they supposed to have another big demonstration?
We may be, something may have happened, since we were recording, when we don't know, but so for those of you are like, why aren't you talking about it? But I did see that this guy is planning something even bigger. He says, so
yeah,
who knows? Well, if that's and happened
they,
right now.
They definitely, I mean, to this point, the police have said, you know, if people are trespassing, they will be prosecuted for trespassing. And, you know, so I don't know. Is that, did he handle that correctly? What do you have thoughts on it?
I don't think these people don't deserve any kind of leniency. So I think that's sort of maybe the point too of the criticism is like these, you know, if these people were a Black Lives Matter outside of some place, you would be clearing them. And because they're these masker guys, you treat them with kids gloves. And that's the whole thing that's wrong about.
Well,
them.
And I think it definitely does set a precedent now, because if you are an organization who, you know, wants to do, you should be expecting to be able to get a sit down with the chief, you know?
Right? So yeah, all you gotta do is a protest in front of a Sprouts, and then you're like, all right, I've got my meeting with the chief now.
If
right?
If I were a person, 100%, you know. So anyway, we'll see how that all plays out too. I mean, I think being more involved than being less involved, to me, is always a good thing, right? So the fact that he met with this guy face to face and had a sit down, I think is probably better than had he not, you know? So the fact that he actually met with him and like sat down and he really got to get a sense of like who this person was, I think that cannot be a bad thing in my mind. So now it's just a question of with that that should be something that happens across the board,
right?
You know, now with that additional information, what's going to happen? So
we're out of lockdown. Before we head into plugs, we're out of lockdown, and I went out and picked up some beer downtown at Zach's and Tioga.
Very good.
And so I was it's the first time I've been talking with live people in a while. The scuttlebutt around town is like how busy it was out there this weekend. Like every place is just packed, and people are just like, it's lockdown's over. Woo! And I just scares me that we're never going to get the hell out. It's never going to go away until everyone gets, you know, gets a shot.
Either everyone has it or vaccine.
We can't help ourselves. We just gotta get out there and have parties and gather. And it's just
right.
I think those of us that are like staying at home and not seeing their friends and this, it feels like I'm just such a minority. And everyone else is just like, what's the problem, man? Like, this is what it feels like to me when I'm like talking to other people that aren't in my bubble of people, you know?
I mean, I don't know. To me, there's a couple of thoughts for me. One was like, who cares? Because it doesn't, like, the restaurants and other places, for the most part, and I'm going to generalize here. So if you're a restaurant owner who was following protocols, And I know there are a lot, including Tioga and Zach's and others. But to me, it seemed like there were so many restaurants that just weren't, that it didn't matter. Yeah. You know, that like, who cares? Like,
I think that's part of the argument that why they opened it up to people are just ignoring it anyway. So it's like, well, maybe if we let everyone be outside, maybe they'll chill.
Right. But. Well, so I went to Mad Duck and it was like 8 o'clock on a Monday or maybe it was a Sunday, like whatever, but, and to get food to go. And this was before they lifted the order. So they were supposed to only be doing takeout. And there were people outside and sitting outside on the patio, like whatever.
Yeah. Out of the Barrel was doing the same thing. And I was like, I haven't been back since I saw that.
And that's not to, you know, count places that were, you know, I mean, I could go down the list of, you know, all of the places that, you know, were operating. And so to me, it's like, well, who cares? I mean, who cares? You know, I would rather them not. I mean, to me, like what they should have done is go the opposite direction and just like say, you know, for the next, like, so essentially what they're saying is like looking at the projection models the next however many weeks, like in 4 weeks or whatever, we're going to see the numbers really drop.
Mm-hmm.
And so, cool, like whatever. But to me, it's like, that's in 4 weeks.
Right.
That's not right now.
That's in four weeks, looking at how we've been in lockdown. Like,
right.
Your four-week outlook is going to completely change when you open things up.
Well, or maybe your four-week outlook is fine, but your eight-week outlook is now screwed because people are, you know, or whatever it is. So to me, it's like what really needed to happen, and it never happened. I think we're past it now. So I, in some ways, it's like, why even talk about it? Yeah. But we needed to go on back to that, the very first shutdown, where it was like everything's really closed unless you're a freaking grocery store or Target or whatever,
or gas station.
Everything else is closed. And that's just the way it is. And we'll, you know, and if we could have done that for two months, I don't think this would have been as big of an issue, but the fact that it's like, as soon as we see the light at the end of the tunnel, quote unquote, then it's like, well, then just open it, you know? And to me, it's like, why do we continue down this silly path?
Yeah, the reason why we're here a year later is because of that. We keep doing that same dumb move of like, well, we had like 2 days of like, it was going down. So
At the other side of that is the thing that's just like, well, you know what? Look, it doesn't matter anyway, because people, you know, the restaurants and businesses, like whatever, they're doing whatever they want anyway. So the best you can do is protect yourself, stay at home, do your best, like whatever. But I will also say that, like, people are freaking dying. You know, just this week, there was a musician, or last week, a musician, this guy Lou Standifer, I think his name.
Okay.
He was a singing ska band
in your
like whatever
newsletter.
He died of COVID, you know, and he wasn't an old man,
right?
You know, so this isn't, you know, we're dealing with something that really is dangerous here. So it's kind of it can be. I think it's frustrating for a lot of people. Right. So. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't been out, so I don't know. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it looked like. But all right, are we ready? Are we done?
I think so, man. It's all time to plug it up.
Plug it up.
Plug it up.
Plug it up.
Oh, Josh.
I'll let you. Oh, you want me to go?
No, yeah, go, Josh.
Okay, I'll go. Okay, so first of all, I will always plug my day job at the Fresno Bee and FresnoBee.com, FresnoBeehive.com. Go get a subscription. Why not?
There's I got one.
If you,
I got mine.
Yeah,
I get the digital and like, the Sundays, and
very good.
And I got the Thanksgiving one, which I was a nice surprise.
So. Yeah. Anyway, if you're into local news, I think, support. So there's that. I would also go ahead and plug a newsletter that I'm doing completely outside of my job. I don't want there to be any confusion. Just for fun. It is a local music newsletter once a week. It's called Band Geek, and you can find it at substack.com. And it's Band Geek with, I think there's five E's in it. Band Geek! And it's
there
just
should be
local
a
stuff,
link
so.
In the show notes for yeah, those that cool. look at the show notes.
So it's news. There's kind of new. Mostly it's just like new releases and stuff. The stuff mm-hmm. that I stumble upon and I think is cool. And so that's once a week. And then my various musical projects. So Striking the Originals is a band I'm in, and It'll Grow Back is a band that I'm in. And the Downwinders is a band that I'm in. And I recently recorded a couple of songs just by myself, like totally on my own at my house, like a true solo outing.
And Teehee Studios?
I didn't write the song, but what's that?
Teehee Studios?
Would you at Teehee Studios? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I not quite Sweet C Studios. It would be Sweet B or D.
All right.
I was throwing it back to.
Is it the same studio that Flowing with Famous originated from, quote unquote, studio? Or are you in a different
one? I don't think so. I think I'm in a different one.
Okay.
I think Flowing with Famous was in that the front, and I'm in the back part mm-hmm. of that. But anyway, so that will be coming out shortly. And I'm still kind of toying with a name for it. So if anyone has a good name, band name for like a solo. I was thinking
it can't be just Josh Teehee.
Old band.
Joshua Teehee?
Nah. I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. Would that be fine?
It's fine.
I mean, I don't I feel like my name's a little weird. in that I don't think it has like a
but
real
who,
like some people
Who out there can you think of that would be in your genre that has a band name but it's just them? Like Neil Young, you'd have to be Joshua Teehee and Crazy
right.
Horse.
But so like Neil Young, that's a nice sounding name, Neil Young. Uh-huh. And not that Joshua Teehee is necessarily bad, but it doesn't really roll off the tongue well enough for me personally to think like that should be the name of my solo project. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like some people, I think it's the Teehee. I think Teehee is just a weird kind of word.
Mm-hmm.
And also
what's the origin of the Teehee? Where's that from? Do you know?
It is a indigenous. It's a Native American. Name either it's either Creek Indian or Cherokee or something. Ah. Again, like I don't really know. This is like story, so you know how these are, like white people telling stories. But my great grandfather was fully Native mm-hmm. American, whatever the tribe he was.
Right.
And so and then just down from that. So so it's and I think originally it was like T-E-E, like capital T-E-E, capital H-E-E or something, and so and it is there was a senator or like a representative from one of the tribes, and I can't remember what tribes it was that had Teehee was the name. I think it was spelled a little different, but so anyway,
use it.
That's where it's from. Yeah.
We'll all workshop it. Listeners of the Flowing with Famous, workshop Josh's.
Workshop.
Do we want to call him Joshua Teehee, or do we want a band?
Okay. So that's it. That's all the things that I'm going to plug.
Okay.
Mike, what do you got?
I was on another Fresno podcast this past month.
Yes. Can I say
Fresno's best podcast?
Yeah. And I feel like that podcast is really like I'm looking at they're having
Jordan
on. They've
Maddox.
Had some really they've had some really good guests. Like they're doing it.
Yeah. It's a guest, one-on-one guest oriented podcast. And I was on there, got to talk a little, a lot of Fresno restauranting and things of that nature. If you want to check it out, look in his feed there. It's in there. I did want to ask you, because you're a book, you know, much more of a book guy than I am, better reader than I am. And it kind of, you know, we're talking about Sororian a little bit. Like, is there, do you collect first editions? Are you a collector of books at all? Is there any, like, have you heard of, like, is there like some, like, first edition Sororian stuff out there that's collectible? Have you ever heard of that? Like, any of his plays or, like, a book or something?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't personally do that. I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are different versions, like, especially, like, stuff like that, with that has probably been released over however many years. Mm-hmm. So there's probably, like, variant, like, cover variants and things that are more or less collectible. But I don't know.
Just making me sure think, there are. Like, I never see it, you know, I've such a collector brain, but that I can't think of, I've seen any, Sororian collectibles.
You know? I'm sure, like, the big ones, like Human Comedy and, you know, like the big, like the big titles, are that way. Yeah. I'm sure that, like, you know, it's weird because, you know, I know Sororian is, like, famous, and he's a famous author, but, like, I'm not sure, like, in the span, like, where he sits in terms of, like, compared to other authors.
Right.
You know? And sometimes I wonder, like, so I know I'm not, I don't want this to sound at all like I'm taking anything away from him, because, like, I personally love, I think, like, the Human Comedy is, like, one of the greatest stories, and, like, his stuff is just amazing. But I wonder if, like, you know, he's a big deal here because he's here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, like, if, and again, like, you know, he had movies, he had books that were made into movies and, like, whatever. So by all standards, he was famous across the board, like, you know, prizes
amongst right, it feels like he's a right, I said it on there, is like he's like a writer's writer, so, like,
right,
famous among writers, or, like, yes, no Sororian, but, like, the regular readers would be like, I don't know,
right, like, is, I don't know if you're gonna go to, like, you know, whatever bookstore in whatever city and be like, hey, do you have Sororian? And they're gonna go, yeah, for sure, and then there's, you know, seven Sororian books, you know. But I don't know.
There you go. I'm just throwing it out.
But I'm sure there are. I'm going to look into it now. Because interesting to me. That is interesting to me.
So there's that. And then the weekly beer podcast, Flowing. God, I do this every time.
It's because flowing and pouring. Yeah,
it is. It mixes me up.
It's because, right,
the perfect pour.
The perfect pour.
Gosh, who named Crafter that?
Your podcast.
Yeah, well, every Friday, new show. Do it with Nick and Matt, and talk national beer geeky stuff and local geeky stuff.
Okay, cool.
Is there a what?
I can't remember. I had a thought, and then
that was 10 seconds ago. I can't remember that. Is there a no? There is.
But by the time as it was coming out of my mouth, I had totally forgotten what my. thought was. So
there's that. There's get off my podcast. We are due to record one. We need to record a new episode. Trent and I, Harrison has been seen out there doing stuff, and he's got roles lined up. So we'll see if we can get, Harrison has gotten the shot. He has gotten the vaccine.
Oh,
cause you know, he's a man of age. So he gets to have
75.
It. Right. So, so he's vaccinated. We're cool.
Everyone's safe.
Right. We're all safe. He can fly wherever he wants to. It's
right,
cool.
Right.
So there's that. Then thefresnan.com, my blog, and fresno.substack.com is my the newsletter. And
that's a good one for people.
Drinking and Thinking is my beer newsletter. Drinkingandthinking.substack.com. There you go.
Man, that's a lot of stuff you got. I'm very proud of you.
Thanks. I'm proud of you.
Well, I appreciate people that are like me and just stack up every moment of their life stuff to do.
I really should just focus on one thing, but apparently I can't.
But there's too much.
Once right. All I know is once I start a thing, then I have a real time quitting something.
Right. So right. You don't want to. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to let it go. Right. Right. Yeah.
So I got to really be wary of starting new things, because then
right.
It's hard to quit. Even if nobody's paying attention, it's still hard.
Right. You're like, well, my three fans.
Yeah. Well, there's three people. They're going to be totally bummed for like 2 minutes if I quit. This week's.
All right. Well, is there anything else for the good of the cause?
Just enjoy February. It's going to be a quick month. And then before you know it, it's going to start heating up and things going to get all nice and warm. Things. So enjoy the
we'll be cool, in the full spring. And hopefully by spring, here's a question, vaccine, going back to the vaccine. Do you know when you will be available?
I thought I was going to be early because I thought I was essential, but apparently I'm not. So
no,
I'm getting it when my age comes up, which is going to be April or May or April or something. So
no, I think, I think it's May. I was looking at it. I don't fall under any of the, and you're in the same.
I thought I was cool, but I guess I'm not.
So it's like, I was looking through the thing and I'm going down a lot, and finally I get to it. It's whatever the 16 to 49 or whatever mm-hmm. that age group is. Mm-hmm. And then it's like with conditions. And I was like, oh, so it's after that. But because I teach martial arts to homeschool group.
Yeah.
Or I help teach. But yeah, so essentially, I'm going to see if I can get it as an educator. Yeah. And if that's the case, I should be able to get it in.
Well, if we get enough vaccines, month. I mean, now we're sort of on pause-ish kind of like there's not enough to even get deal with the people that are eligible right now. So,
well, but what's funny is depending on where you go. So I have a friend who works at a place, whatever. And as part of his work, they had a certain amount of vaccines. That they were allowed for employees and then clients of the place, and not enough people signed up for the vaccines, right? And so they have a certain amount, and if they don't use them, they go bad. So they opened it up to people and their families, mm-hmm. and so his wife was then able to get the vaccine as well because not enough people had signed up.
Right.
So I think it's a weird play because I think it's like depending on where, who, and where, and like whatever, you may or may they, you know, some places everyone's going to be, you know, if it's a county thing, everyone's going there and blah blah blah, but other places maybe not so much because there's a lot of people who are still up in the air about whether to get it. So
yeah, well, we'll see, we'll keep track
anyway. Hopefully but you're totally fine soon. You're totally fine with getting it once.
Oh yeah, available to you. As long as the line's not too long, I'll do.
Right. That's the thing.
I am very old and crotchety when it comes to lines, so I'm just like, oh god, if there's a line, I don't know.
I'll come back tomorrow.
I'll come back tomorrow. When's this? I'll look on Google. You can look at the business. If you Google a business, it'll show you. Uh-huh. It'll show you the busy times.
Oh, uh-huh.
It gives you these bar graphs of like when it's the busiest. I'll look. I was like, when's the busiest time?
Yeah. Oh, good. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah.
If I can get an appointment of just like walking up and saying, like,
right,
give me a shot. Yeah. I'm in.
Right. All right. So we'll see. We'll be back in a month or mm-hmm. whatever. In the meantime, everyone enjoy. And I'll count us out. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.